It's 25 minutes to 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have on the line. We've got to move fairly quickly because of a couple of little hiccups we had earlier. But really delighted to have on the line, Darren, Dr. Vida Sagar-Ahuja, a senior lecturer in Discipline Coordinator in Human Resources Management from the University of Notre Dame, Australia. It's really delightful to have you on the line, Doctor. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim and Darren. It's great to be with you.
Tell our listeners, what do you actually do in a professional sense in the day, during the day, and what do you teach?
I'm an academic, Jim, and I teach organizational behavior, human resource management, human resource development at the University of Notre Dame, Sydney campus.
Organisational behaviour, we could spend a whole day just working through all of those things with regards to that, and we might come back to that in a moment. You have specific research areas that you love to look at in terms of process and people. Tell our listeners about how that works.
Yes, Jim, for the past 15 years, I have been researching in the area of the personality, emotional intelligence and well-being at workplace. I also dealt with the spirituality and impact of spiritual well-being, and wrote a few good papers and also a couple of books. Actually, I'm writing my third book now, and I thoroughly enjoy my research. And for the past couple of years, I spend mostly on well-being, psychological well-being, and artificial intelligence.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, Doctor, but, you know, some of the things that you're doing, personality, spirituality in terms of well-being, they must be exciting areas to explore in this day and age.
Absolutely. I think the kind of environment that we are living in and the pandemic, and there is a greater need for us to focus on psychological well-being and also what really matters. And constantly we are bombarded with various challenges. It can be personal or professional and national, international. There is a greater need for us to focus on taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other.
Doctor, explain to our listeners in a very simple way, in a very practical way. We talk about we all want well-being. What does that mean? The concept, or in research terms, we call it a construct. But what do we mean by well-being in a broad sense?
If you look at holistically, there is a psychological aspects to it. There is a physical aspects to it, spiritual aspects to it, basically holistically how well we are doing. And for example, you can say it like, are you happy? And how you answer that question, perhaps that can explain, if you genuinely ask that question, that can explain your state of your well-being. So the core is basically how you're feeling deep inside is well-being. Jim.
So there's so many aspects to well-being, as you're saying, physical, emotional, spiritual. If we look at the sum of all of those things, clearly there is a number of aspects which affect that well-being. In 2021, what do you see as the major aspects? Because it saddens both Darren and I, and we've had many, many people talk to us about suicide, attempted suicide, mental stress, mental illness, mental problems, all of those things. And the antithesis of all of that, of course, is well-being. What's your thoughts about what I've just said to you?
Certainly, this is a very deep area for us to focus on, and what's happening in the past half year and the 21 and the challenges. A lot of people are facing joblessness or losing, economy, and certainly it's a lot of huge challenges are arising. But amidst of all these things, I think it's very important for us to understand in managing, having skills to manage change. I mean, for example, you said that 21 challenges, I think the biggest challenge that we have is change management, managing change. It could be personal and a professional, working from home, or making our priorities right. And Yeah, so basically understanding this, how, where we are heading, and that we can manage our well-being for ourselves and as well as people around us.
Hey, Sager, it's Darren here. We're just having you drop out a little bit, so if you want to just move to a slightly better area so we get the reception good for you, and we'll continue on. Thank you.
Doctor?
Yeah.
What are those things that predict well-being? Tell our listeners, what do you think are those things? And then after that, we might go to a little break, but I'd be really interested, and I know our listeners would be, what actually predicts well-being?
Okay. There are various factors, Jim. For example, personality factors, individual personality factors can play a significant role in predicting well-being. For example, in psychology literature, there is a big five personality traits, and extroversion, and our openness to experience, neuroticism, and there are various factors out there. Actually, basically, the way we are wired within can predict our well-being. And for example, if you are scoring high on extroversion, you are a kind of person, you open to new experiences, or you're very talkative and try to mingle with people. Like you, Jim, you're a typical extrovert. You are a typical individual who score high on extroversion, they are likely to be happy. And also, if you score high on personality trait, extroversion, open to experience, that's a typical trait for to be innovative, to be creative. And so personality traits can actually significantly influence our well-being. And suppose if an individual is scoring higher in neuroticism, and those kind of people are likely to, worrisome personality. So I think those people, if they understand who they are, what are their traits are, they can actually take some kind of help in raising their emotional stability, and so that their well-being can be better.
It's very interesting, Doctor. Well-being. I've met a number of people who are externally give such a level of energy, and sometimes when I've spoken to them privately, they seem hollow. You know, in the sense they're very conflicted by their own analysis of well-being. While they're out, they're very happy. You talk to them on a one-on-one basis and they say, I'm not happy with where I'm at in life. I find that really interesting conversation.
Yeah, certainly. Jim, like there are various, apart from personality, there are other factors. It could be family factor or else it could be a social factor, or it could be some kind of loss, or it could be, any challenges at job, at workplace, and so all these things can play a significant role. I mean, for example, you, Jim, is typical extrovert to my knowledge. based on research, you're a happy person. I think you are a happy person, Jim, based on my interaction with you. But an extrovert can also face life challenges. Those life challenges can be sometimes, significant. So if we don't deal with those challenges appropriately, that can have a negative impact on our happiness and well-being.
I think so. We're going to go to a little break, Doctor, and come back and talk about how we can promote well-being in ourselves and try and find greater happiness. I think that's what life's all about in this very complex and very dynamic world in which we all live. And then talk a little bit about your book, because you've got another book coming out. You're a prolific writer and a very eminent scholar, and we want our listeners to find out a little bit about well-being and happiness. You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim on Spotlight, and we're delighted to be with you this morning. And don't forget that riddle.
Alive 90.5. It's 10 minutes to 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's really great to have on the line Dr. Hohuta, Senior Lecturer and Discipline Coordinator of Human Resources Management from the University of Notre Dame, talking about personality and in particular well-being. And we left just before the break talking about well-being and happiness and how do you promote those in your personal life and in your organisation. We all strive for happiness, Doctor. Tell us how we can do that.
Okay, I think there are some of the things that we know and we sometimes we don't practice them. It's like, for example, you know, like doing exercise every day, or else at least 6 days a week, and it can going for a brisk walking, 40 minutes for walking, and eating healthy. And these are some of the basic important things that we need to do. Another thing that many people neglect is good sleep, Jim. It's very important for us to have good sleep, because if you don't sleep well, the next day can be negatively impacted. So sleep is a priority, the simple thing that we can do. I think sometimes some people find it hard to sleep, or they need to get some professional help for that. But good sleep is very, very important. And another thing is, you know, our friends are family, and these strong bonds are extremely important. And having some close people around you that whom you can trust and have some good conversations. And so these are core for us to have general happiness. Another important thing is, Jim, that the other day I was listening to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. I'm not sure if you heard about it or not. You know, Jesus talks about the importance of being the meekful, being the peacemakers, having kind of a pure heart. And the Matthew chapter 4 talks about, you know, it's the blessed are the pure in heart, things like that. So those are, blessed means happiness. And so, like, overall, you know, what I'm saying is exercise, good family and friends, sleeping well, and faith in God and practicing it. And these are core important things that we often neglect. And there are so many other factors, but these are some of the foundation factors that we need for us to maintain the sense of well-being and happiness in life. And Jim.
Well, Doctor, thank you for sharing those. Very important. And reminding us, too, that we need to work at that. It's not something that comes to us, that we have to be part of that equation. That's really good. If we translate that to the work environment, work plays such an important role in all our lives for a variety of reasons. Your book spends a lot of time looking at well-being, employee well-being, and resilience, particularly in terms of innovation. Tell our listeners about that, because you use a word managing, and that's a really difficult task because it's a doing word, it's a verb, to manage something. So tell us the story behind that, because it's a very, very good book, and it's going to be launched on the 21st of June, which is exciting.
So, 21st of June, we are going to launch a different book. Jim, we are going to launch on the Mind Over Matter, Artificial Intelligence, but Employee Wellbeing is a book that I wrote this 2 years ago.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and but anyway, so basically, the well-being, I did empirical study, and not only book, but also did conducted some research. I looked at how personality can influence resilience, and eventually that influences organizational productivity and innovation. So I found there's a strong correlation between individuals who score extroversion personality trait, which I was talking to you earlier, then they have reasonably they have potential to be maintain their well-being, but that well-being eventually impacts their resilience at workplace to face any challenges. You know, it could be stress, it could be organizational politics and various things. So that's my empirical aspects. And in addition to that, you know, like as I said earlier, some of these things like keeping your own well-being, personal well-being, if you go to work, I think that you can translate into the way that you deal with others and maintaining, you know, good relationships. So there is a strong connection between personally how you feel and how you, our own well-being at workplace.
I,
personal and professional well-being, yeah.
I think that's a really good point to end our conversation in terms of looking at that whole area. And we'd love to have you come back, Doctor, and talk more about employees and how they interact in the workplace and how they can get best output for the self and for the organisation. Thanks for joining us on Spotlight with Darren and Jim. We've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. We wish you all the very best, and both Darren and I can't wait to see you on the 21st of June to see the launch of your new book.
Yeah, the new book is Mind Over Matter and Artificial Intelligence and Building Employee Mental Fitness for Organizations. So thank you, Jim. I really appreciate all your support, and I'm looking forward to for you and Darren joining at the book launch on the 21st of June at the University of Notre Dame.
Have a great morning.